Hey, greetings. This is Jim from don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, got an interesting topic today. Matthew Miliani, he's a teacher and one of the leaders, I guess, at a place called Followers of the Way. They're in Boston. He is there with a man that is his brother, I guess one of the founding brothers of the body, Matthew told me, Finney Fioravilla, I think you say his name. I came across them in doing some research. I've never met either of them. I've never been involved in any of their activities or their body. This simply was me finding them on the internet, wanting to find out if we really had unity and things in common, or was this something that was troublesome, as I suspected, as I began to read some of their doctrine. So the reason I'm doing a audio on this is because I reached out to Matthew and Finney, never heard back from Finney. I did hear from Matthew, and it has turned into quite a mess, and I want to have a good witness for the glory of God, and I'm sure that many of Matthew's friends and brothers or brethren are following what is taking place. I have brethren that are following what's taking place, and I want to set the record straight. This audio is to set the record straight on why I reached out to Matthew, the differences that I have, and what really transpired. So let me get to it and do it as quickly as I can. I reached out and emailed Matthew and asked him if he could tell me what the gospel was. Matthew was very nice and very kind in the beginning, and he started out by telling me the gospel is not Jesus died for your sins and rose again. That's not the gospel. Well, we went into some other things, and it really went south quickly when I told Matthew I was not interested in reasoning over the early church fathers or men like David Burkow's books. I wanted to cling to God's word alone in scripture, as Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. Well, Matthew instantly didn't like that. As soon as I pointed out a few of the issues, like their gospel, their non-focus on the cross, and their various issues that are troubling, that I began to lay out, Matthew said, I don't have any time for this. I have 10 children. I have a business. I have a body. I don't have time for this. And that was fine. After two emails, three emails maybe, he wanted to leave. That was fine. Well, the next thing that happened is Matthew went to his Facebook page and began to gossip about me. I thought he didn't have time, but he did, to gossip. He lied. He said that I said Paul was the center of the gospel. I said no such thing. Christ is the center of all things, being God, creator God himself. So this was a lie. He called me names like a rando, a crazy, and it was rather troubling. And I saw the man who seemed so kind and nice turn into a lying, manipulative man very quickly. Then what happened was, after he posted on his Facebook page, many of his friends and followers started coming onto my Facebook page posting, and I don't allow public comments, so not a problem there. But I offered any of the men, and let me say, I had women commenting and emailing me, and really, this is not what women should be doing if they're biblical ladies. They should leave the reasoning and the word of God to men. This is what God's New Testament body is all about, per Paul. And so I see feminism at work here also. And that's why I don't like Facebook. Facebook commenting, because everybody can jump in. Everybody can distract from the topic. It's very, very not conducive for biblical reasoning. I like to talk on the phone, meet in person if possible. Email is even better. Everyone has a record of what's being said. But anyway, it turned very ugly. And then Matthew came back and said, well, maybe let's get to know each other and let's start over. And all I asked of Matthew was, well, you need to repent on your Facebook page for lying about what I said and for having a bad attitude. He refused to repent. So this showed me that he did not have the heart and the mind and the spirit to go reasoning deeper in scriptures. And I want to assure you, this is all about God's truth. This is nothing about personalities. I don't know Matthew at all. I don't know Finney at all. I've never been to their body. I don't know anyone who's ever been to their body. This is all about truth on the internet, because they teach on the internet. And part of my ministry is testing Bible teachers. And if they're biblical, wonderful. I will support them all I can. If they're not, which most are not today, Jesus warned many false teachers will come. Few will find the narrow path in Matthew 7. And we warn, I warn people on the internet about these false teachers through an unbiblical teachers blog at my website, www.don'tperish.com. We have a teaching blog with hundreds of articles. We have hundreds of videos. So we teach the true faith. We teach the biblical gospel. We teach the true New Testament body, and we expose false teachers. That's really the three things that we do. And so we do hundreds of articles, audios, and videos. And then the one side is we have an unbiblical teachers blog. Well, Matthew didn't like me posting about him and his doctrine on my Facebook. It turned into a very ugly, mad back and forth with his friends. And I told them, email me. Email me to refute what I'm saying. No one has ever done that. None of his friends, none of the men that he's in a body with there. Finney never emailed me. Refute what I'm saying biblically. And really, this all comes down to five main points that I really want to talk about. Well, I guess I should get back, first of all, to Matthew. So Matthew did a roundabout, wanted to come back and get to know each other. Then when I said, well, after you repent, then he started on recently how much I hate him. This is a lie. I've told him I love him over and over. Then he told me he blocked me from his Facebook page, which I never even, you can't even post on his Facebook page. Isn't that interesting? He blocked me because now he said he's fearful that I'm dangerous and I could snap, and he was fearful of his family. Huh. Let's see. I'm a law-abiding person. I've never been arrested. I've never harmed anyone in that way. Yet he's throwing that straw man out there to distract from the truth, which I'll get to, biblical truth, which he doesn't want to talk about. And then on the same day that he told me, which is today, May 1st, 2018, the same day that he told me I'm a crazy and I'm dangerous, I could snap, then he said, he messaged me and said, let's get to know each other. I'll buy you a cup of coffee sometime. I'm beginning to think he has more than one personality. This is really strange. So I'm not sure who Matthew really is, but at this point, while I love him and I forgive him for whatever he said and lied about, I don't want to reason with him any longer. It isn't fruitful. He can't be trusted. So the offer I make is on the testings I place, any of the other men from Followers of the Way are welcome to email me, don'tperish@outlook.com, or call me, 608-547-8162, and they can give me their biblical refuting of what I'm saying, and I will consider it. If they email it, I'll even place it on the testing, and then I will give my rebuttal and put it in the testing. This is why we do this. It's for truth. Paul went and disputed with the Jews in Acts. I'm disputing with the followers of the way. This is a biblical process. They're teaching falsely. Matthew seems to be very double-minded, very fleshly, and he's 1 minute angry at me. The next minute he wants to buy me coffee. 1 minute I'm a dangerous, crazy man. The next minute let's get to know each other. No, no more of this. I'm not going to do it any longer. And so I just wanted to put out there the truth about all this. I came to him in love, wanting to talk truth. He did not want to. Then he would not repent of his mean-spiritedness and his lies. And so I've decided to part from him biblically. Romans 16:17. Someone who leaves sound doctrine, Paul says, don't associate with them. Titus 3, if someone's a heretic, I believe Matthew is teaching schism, false ways, that's heresy. Titus 3 says, warn them, which I've done, and then have nothing to do with them. So what I really want to say, get to in this audio is the main reasons why I'm writing about followers of the way. Sattler College came up. Let me cover that. Sattler College is a so-called Anabaptist type college, and they're going to be bringing in Mennonite youth and all these other Anabaptist type youth. Well, I did a testing on Sattler College. Go to don'tperish.com, look under the Unbiblical Teachers blog. There's hypocrisy there. There's the false gospel there. There's uniting with Word of Faithers there. They're spending $100,000 to get a paper diploma, yet they tell you Jesus says if you have an extra cloak, you should give it away according to the Sermon on the Mount. These are all terrible, terrible hypocrisies, and I want it to be known so that people can make up their own decision on the whole process. So here's the really five points that I would have great difference with followers of the way and this whole kingdom mindset. Number one, they have a corrupt gospel, ignoring or negating the cross of Christ for their kingdom gospel message. All right. I'm going to be doing articles about all these, so I'm not going to go in depth here. But the very gospel they preach, they negate the cross of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. This is dangerous. Galatians 1 says, any other gospel than the one that Paul preached, and Paul preached the cross. 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Timothy 2:8, he preached the risen Christ as his gospel. It's very, very clear. So the gospel is at stake here. This is very, very important. Two, they ignore the Holy Scriptures as their full guide to truth, and they cling to the Sermon on the Mount words of Jesus, and they downplay the rest of God's word. Now, they won't admit that, but they really do, and I actually have them on video. One of the other Mennonite men they were all on stage with, Matthew, said that doctrine is irrelevant. If Jesus is deity or if he really is God, that's irrelevant. This is the kind of heresy that's going on here. So they cling to some of God's word, but not all of it for doctrine. Very, very dangerous. They have various wrong teachings, such as their focus on the social gospel, lifting up the aiding the poor, which is a good thing, but above the preaching of the cross, very dangerous. Their views on non-resistance are slanted. Non-resistance is taught in the Bible in some cases, but how they teach it is slanted and not biblical. Their views on pre-conversion, divorce, and remarriage, slanted, not in line with God's full word, with what Jesus taught and with what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians. Number four, they have many heretical associations. As I said, Sattler College goes and links to a Word of Faith congregation or seminar or gathering called Collide 2017. They sponsored it. Many, many hypocrisies. They won't unite with the Mennonites because they have differences, but they'll go to Cam and take Cam's money to go do work in Africa. This seems very, very hypocritical. And they many times exhibit people that are spiritless because they're not clinging to God's full truth, but they're clinging to this man-made system of a kingdom theology, which is not lining up fully with Scripture. Some aspects of it are biblical. Many aspects are not. And finally, five, they lift up Acts 2 and this whole idea of communal living, which can be biblical. There's no problem there. But what they're not doing is obeying the full word of God. I have Matthew on video saying that men and the brothers can decide what is doctrine for the body, what doctrine they'll accept. No. Apostle Paul says, Jesus says, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. Jesus says, thy word is truth, John 17:17. Apostle Paul says that all scripture, 2 Timothy 3, is given for instruction and correction and reproving. We don't make up our own doctrine. So this is very, very clear. This is not about personalities. This is not about Matthew Miliani. This is not about his family. He never even brought up his family. I'm sure his family is precious. This is not about me trying to get anyone. What this is I'm a man in Wisconsin and Missouri, and I travel the nation preaching the gospel. I have run into many of these Anabaptist-type people. I have testings on them and am working on testings on them. They're deceiving many people with their false gospel, their perverted gospel, their kingdom living. They look all loving and kind. They love their own. But when someone comes and brings correction for them or challenges their truth, oh, they don't love them. They turn like a pack of wolves on them. And Jesus said, hey, you love your own? What good are you doing that? Even the publicans do that. So we're supposed to love our brothers. We're supposed to love enemies. Matthew didn't do that. Matthew got fleshly. Matthew refused to focus on the truth. And still, I've put up these testings, and no one has biblically dealt with it. Good example, they believe in the literal blood and body of Christ. The bread turns into his body, the wine turns into the blood. I have put up Leviticus 17 and Acts 15, which commands that we not take blood. No one seems to want to deal with those scripture verses yet. They want to attack, they want to run to their pet sins, they want to mock, they want to say, oh, you have all the truth. No. I've never said I have all the truth. What I say is God's word has all the truth. And this movement, the kingdom movement, is not focused on God's word. We have their leaders saying they don't need doctrine. We don't need the Bible and doctrine. We just need to build a kingdom. We need to have community. That is not what we are to stand on. If you read the epistles, Jesus in Acts 9 calls Paul to be his mouthpiece to the Gentiles, to help establish the New Testament bodies. Paul teaches all over doctrine, instruction for the body of Christ. He tells us to cling to the traditions he's handed down, not the early church fathers. And I need to say that. This is another big contention. Matthew and his people and the kingdom people really cling to the early church fathers. You know, the early church fathers began to leave biblical theology. Paul said in Acts that wolves will come in. It didn't take long. And as proof, by the time Polycarp, after the, year 100 or so, he was a bishop over regions of people. They were on their way to the Roman Catholic bishop, cardinal, pope system very shortly, when the New Testament model has always been multiple elders to oversee the body. And many other things came in. They started to bring in heresy. So by the 2nd, 3rd, 4th century, we started to see things that were leaving the Word of God, and we're not to be following uninspired men. We're not to be naming ourselves Mennonites. They named Sattler College after a Mennonite man, Sattler. We're to be lifting up Christ. This is sinful, per Paul in 1 Corinthians. I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Sattler. No. Christ is to be lifted up, and Christ's word is to be lifted up. And Paul was sent to preach, along with the other apostles, Peter, John, to preach the fullness of God's truth, and to stop at the Sermon on the Mount. You make a grave mistake negating the balance of the word taught after the cross, after the resurrection, and go do a word study in the epistles on the word gospel. You will see Paul never uses the words or the term gospel of the kingdom. He uses the term gospel, always linked to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Paul does teach on the kingdom of God. Where did Jesus say the kingdom of God is? It's not this world. He told us that my kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is within God's people by the Spirit. So this building a kingdom here on earth, this is a social gospel mindset. It was started with the Marxists to infiltrate the Christian faith, and it's gone a long way, and I'm going to be writing about that. So I wanted to do this audio to set the record straight. I love all these people. I care about them. We don't sell anything, unlike many of these religious organizations and colleges. We don't ask anyone for money at Don't Perish. We support ourselves. We think it's sinful to sell or to take money for the truth of God. Jesus didn't do it. Paul didn't do it. Why are men doing it today? We are about the truth of God's word. We like to be tested. They are free to go to our large website, test anything we say, email it to us. We'll consider it, and we'll send our reply. But we cannot unite, per Romans 16, 17, with people that leave sound doctrine. Yet Matthew will unite with just about seemingly anyone, it seems. I don't know who he won't unite with. I guess I can't say who he won't unite with, but I see who he will unite with, people that even he does not agree with their doctrine. So that's kind of troubling. And the Bible tells us in 2 Thess 3, even if a brother's just lazy, we're not supposed to eat with him, so he'll be ashamed. How can we allow all this false doctrine and unity at the sake of doctrine? No, we can't do that. When Jesus prayed for unity in John 17, it was unity on the truth of God's word. Paul says, I want you to be of one mind, be united. Yet these kingdom followers are all splintered, mingling with Mennonites and all these different kingdom groups that have different theologies, yet they're all uniting and working off of each other. It's sinful, it's compromise, it's heresy, and I can have nothing to do with it, but I can warn people about it. So I hope this audio has made it clear. This is not a personal attack. Nowhere was any hatred. I have all the emails and all the communication with Matthew. If anyone's interested, contact me via my email. I just gave it, or my phone number. It's on this audio. It's on my website. I'll share with you. There was nothing said that would make Matthew act the way he's been acting, double-minded, fleshly, saying things that aren't true. Paul's not the center of the gospel. I never said that. Christ is the center of the gospel. Him, death, burial, resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins and his kingdom to come. This is the gospel. It always was preached back to Abraham. Faith in God. You return to God by faith, and he will give you grace. And this is the fulfillment at the cross. How we can negate that by saying that the gospel is not about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? You can't even get in the kingdom of God until you repent and are born again through the cross. Think about that. You can't get in the kingdom. So the kingdom is not good news to you until you have a means and a way for the forgiveness of your sins. There's the good news. The good news is Christ has come. He fulfilled the law. He made it possible for sinful people like me in my past to be fallen at one time, to be in the gutter, to be depraved, but to repent and find new life and a new heart and a new mind in Christ. That's the good news, along with the kingdom of God, along with what he taught at the Sermon on the Mount. But it all must go together. It cannot be separated out as they're doing. And lastly, what I want to leave you with, if people have taken the time to listen to this, Our Lady's head cover, Our Lady's dress biblical. We believe in multiple elders. We are not evangelical. We reject all pagan holidays. We are following after the kingdom of God via the gospel of Christ, via the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, via the teachings of the epistles, the full counsel of God's word. We are not Protestants. We are not Anabaptists. We are Bereans who follow the word of God. We hate all the isms, Calvinism, Arminianism. We hate all those. What does God's word teach? That's what we cling to. And we live out our faith. We've come out of the culture. We don't have television. We reject sports and media and entertainment. So we do have things in common with Anabaptist type groups or things in common with followers of the way. But even in those things, they're not fully biblical. I've had men of the Anabaptists say, well, you can't really say this about dress and you can't say this about head covering. It's clearly taught in Scripture. So I don't know. They're very loose on their theology, and this is another troubling situation. So wanted to do an audio. My finished testing for Matthew Miliani is going to be up in a few days. Then I'm going to be doing testings on the kingdom theology, and I'll be doing point by point on why their gospel is perverted, why their social gospel, why their focus on community is not correct, how they're teaching aberrant things that are deceiving people, how their false unity is not in line with God's word to keep us pure. Paul says in Galatians 5:9, a little bit of sin affects the whole body. Well, these bodies let a lot of sin in because they compromise on doctrine. You really got to consider that. So this is about truth. This is about love of God's word. It's about love of other people. We hope people stumble on our testings. We'll read it. We'll go deep in God's word. Contact us, phone or email. We don't do it on Facebook. Facebook is just a billboard. And we'd be happy to reason with you in the word of God. If we stick to the word of God, not uninspired men's writings, not some traditions that came along centuries later that ultimately led to the Roman Catholic faith. No. The word of God is sufficient, all right? The teachings are there for us. Let's cling to them. So thanks if you've listened to this. I wanted to make the truth be known, and I hope you follow at don'tperish.com, Unbiblical Teachers blog, and our teaching blog. Much more to come. And let us know how we can help you in the true biblical faith. Do not be deceived by people that tell you the gospel good news is not Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The good news is he has made the way for us to enter into the kingdom of God. We must come through the cross. We must come through him for the forgiveness of sins. So this has been Jim at don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Love to all the true saints. Have a glorious day. May God be praised.